always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9941 News Talk STL. Once again, big thank you to Brian Eggers from Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning for joining us in studio in that last segment. Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning, one of the sponsors of tonight's debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. Tim Jones and Chris Arps are going to get things started in less than an hour. They're doing their show out there at Johnny's Hideout from 4 to 6. Party starts at 7. Debate starts at 8. Hope to see everybody out there tonight at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge for the debate watch party. And joining us now on the line, as he does every Thursday at this time, to preview tonight's debate a little bit, we have the great Dr. Randy Tobler on with us. Doc, thanks for being here, buddy. And how much are you looking forward to this debate tonight? Even if not, take all your media savvy, your politics, your insight, all of that out of it, just from the point of entertainment and reality television, how much are you looking forward to this thing?
You know, the way I'm approaching this, Tony, is sort of the way if I could imagine if I was a, you know, like a fan of the New York Yankees during the Yankees heyday back in the 90s and, you know, I guess the early 2000s, you know, when they were just winning every year, Reggie Jackson, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the big, or, well, let's say the Patriots, right?
Sure.
And it's like, you know, I mean, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And, oh, man, you know, the odds out in Vegas are all saying I'm looking pretty good. I'm getting a little swagger and thinking pretty good. In the back of my mind, if I'm a fan, I'm thinking like, wow, I could get blown out of here. You know, I would rather be the team that's the underdog challenging, because I think everyone is expecting Trump to pretty much dominate this debate and yeah. Joe to be pretty weak, right, at some point. Yeah. Maybe not early on. I think Joe will come out, you know, with some rest and some one-liners, and those will come out early. I'm sure they've colluded with the moderators to get the best questions to elicit his best lines early while he's fresh. I guarantee you that's happened. I mean, I'm confident that's happened. And then, and if it hasn't, I'm sure that they've tried to anticipate what he will be prepared for with the best answer. Because after all, it is Trump against three. You know, yeah. That's the truth. Yeah. And so I hope that Trump doesn't come out with too much bravado too early, and Joe really maybe, you know, catch him with an uppercut that he wasn't expecting, some really clever one-liners, because you know they're going to be there. That's all that he can hope is to have in the last week, 5 or 6 one-liners that he can remember.
That's the big one. He's got to remember them because he can't have notes. He can't have notes, and he can't have...
That's the thing.
So that's going to be the thing. Can he remember the one-liners, or are we going to get half-delivered, like, wrong, mixed up?
You know what, though, insults? Tony? You've seen him. I wear them. I wear in the canal hearing aids.
I know. Doc,
in the canal hearing aids, I'm afraid. I don't want a drug test. I want an ear test.
Yeah. I totally agree. I truly, truly believe that there is a very good chance that he will have an earpiece in. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I just would not put that past the president and his team. Doc, from a medical standpoint, real question, shouldn't have to be a real question, but real question. From a medical standpoint, if he is, let's assume that somebody, doesn't necessarily have to be the president, somebody is suffering from cognitive issues from age. What can be given to them that, like, what are the chances of him taking something that will last the entire 90 minutes? Because to me, I'm watching to see what happens in that last home stretch, because I'm looking for the drugs to wear off.
Yeah, I want to be careful here, and, you know, because we don't really know. We don't know what his diagnosis is, if anything. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but there's something going on with the guy. Even people that have known him for years say, man, he's not the same guy. So I have Kevin McCarthy on last night with Sean. Was it Sean or I guess it was Jesse? At any rate, look, we've seen him fall asleep sitting there talking with another head of state, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've seen him falling asleep at events. So you could, a doctor who was either very legitimate, and it's a legitimate diagnosis, or a doctor who's very politically motivated and pushes the edge on a diagnosis, you could call it narcolepsy, and you could give him something like that that would keep him a little more activated, motivated. If he's showing some signs of depression, there are some mood elevators. One that a lot of people have heard of is Wellbutrin. It tends to be one of the more activating kind of things. So I'm thinking of something that you could prescribe in a legitimate way for a legitimate diagnosis that would not be just sort of a, you know, an upper, just an amphetamine just for the moment, you know.
Right.
And look, if it's going to get that down and dirty where he can find some physician that's willing to do that, I don't know. These days in politics, it's like no one has any boundaries right anymore. Yeah. I don't know. But you could think of a lot of things like the Adderall class of drugs, the whole ADD kind of drugs. And those are fairly long. They have longer and shorter acting ones. But so, you know, I mean, you could say, yeah, the guy has a hard time focusing. He really does have some ADHD. Yeah, here's some Adderall. Here's some Concerta, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go there. I hope that they're not going to go there unless they have a legitimate formal diagnosis, because that's just good medicine.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor that has to protect
politics.
I don't have to. I'm not a doctor that has to protect my reputation like you do. So I'm going to say that he will definitely be on something.
Something.
Doc, I know that we've got to let Dr. Tobler go in just a couple minutes here. So and then I want to continue the conversation. I want to roll out this story real quick, Doc, and get your thoughts on, and then we'll continue the conversation because I know we gotta cut you loose. Famous pollster says the presidential election is not a toss up going into tonight's first debate. Well-known polling and data guru Nate Silver, who formerly ran the polling analysis website 538, revealed yesterday that former President Trump was solidly favored to win the White House in his first presidential election forecast. Now, Nate Silver is, like I said, a well-known pollster, but he's also a well-known liberal. He admits that he is a Biden supporter. He admits that he will be voting for Joe Biden. He wants Joe Biden to win. So think about that. That's the person putting out this report. But he says the stats are clear that Trump is way ahead. Silver's forecast model based on 40,000 simulations found Trump had a 65.7% chance of winning the Electoral College compared to Biden, who only had a 33.7% chance. I'll go into some of these other details in a minute, Doc. But basically, he says that the idea, the media, anybody telling you that this race is a toss-up or it's, you know, it's neck and neck at this point, he said that that is, at this point, quote, at best a white lie, a convenient fiction that allows everyone to shrink accountability for their forecasts and decisions. He says that right now, Donald Trump is solidly ahead. Do you believe that? And what do you think about that report?
I believe it is, and I believe the reason he and the rest of the legacy media and, you know, sort of prominent media types are getting it out there and being so overt about it is because they want one of two outcomes. Either for enough people to say, holy cow, we got a bat in the hatches, let's circle the wagons and let's really get out the base and let's do whatever it takes and buy as many votes as we can as Democrats and Joe Biden and, you know, scare would-be maybe sit-at-homers to actually come out and vote for Joe. But I think there's actually a bigger ulterior motive, and that's in the instance, in the event that Joe has a bad night tonight, bye-bye, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye, Joe.
Yeah.
I think this is just to push the momentum to get someone there who can compete with Joe, because he knows it's not Trump.
That is Dr.
It's not Biden. It's not Biden.
Yeah.
Someone to compete with Trump, and it's not Biden. Look, and I don't know whether it's Kamala. I've heard that Michelle, you know, will have nothing to do, won't even campaign for Biden. But I think they're getting this out there because they're panicking, and they know they need to have a change in candidate if they want a chance.
That's a great segue. I actually have a Michelle Obama story about how she is angry with the Bidens personally. We're going to get into that story in just a little bit, but we got to let you go. Dr. Randy Tobler will be listening Saturday morning to get the recap, your thoughts on the debate, and really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Have a great
Stanley
day.
Cup World Series and Super Bowl all in one.
There you go. Right. Exactly. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks.
All right, that is Dr. Randy Tobler. I want to keep going here for a few minutes. We had to cut him loose a little early. He's got the full-time morning show.
Yeah.
He's on every morning on the Eagle in Columbia, Missouri. Of course, he's got 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning here on News Talk STL. He's on with us every Thursday, and he is a full-time practicing doctor. Man is busy.
Literally doing that now.
And pretty amazing that he brought up that Michelle Obama story, because I do have that here, and I want to get into that a little bit later on. But first, Katie, I want to get your thoughts on this Nate Silver report. He went on to say, Nate Silver, that, quote, if the Electoral College popular vote gap looks anything like it did in 2016 or 2020, you'd expect Biden to be in deep trouble if the popular vote is roughly tied. Silver's model adjusts for whether polls are conducted among registered or likely voters, the presence or absence of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and House effects. And again, his model, this report that he put out yesterday, is based on over 40,000 simulations that found Trump has a 65.7% chance of winning the election. Much more than a than the toss-up or the neck-and-neck race that the media is trying to tell us. What do you feel? Do you feel like that's more likely the case than not?
I do. I think that there's a a lot of people have confidence in Donald Trump right now, especially after the years of seeing the demise of Joe Biden. I think there's a lot of moderates. We were talking with Brian Eggers about this off the air. I think there's a chance that there is, these pollsters are evaluating what the independents and the moderates feel. And there's probably a lot of anxiety and angst going on with that section of Americans. And I'm not saying, and there are people in this world that are still undecided. There are still people that are like, I have no clue who I'm voting for. I either hate both of them, they're both okay, whatever the case may be. But I imagine that these simulations that these two well-known pollsters are talking about have a lot to do with swing states and a lot to do with moderates and independents. And what they're feeling from when they talk to these people is anxiety. It's not happy-go-lucky unicorns and dandelions. So with that information, the calculus is, if the last 4 years have caused nothing but anxiety and nothing but sadness and not knowing what's going to happen for me and my family and my country, I feel like the next natural step would be to say, someone needs to step in. And if Donald Trump is the person that's going to step in, and if he's the nomination and he is the alternative to Joe Biden, there's a lot of confidence there. There's a lot of confidence in a human being that ran this country once and it was a tight ship and is able to do it again.
It's interesting to hear Nate Silver, who again is a open Biden supporter. He's going to vote for Biden. He says that he hopes Biden wins. And this is his report, his honest report. It shows Trump at 65%, almost 66% ahead right now. And says that anybody in the media that tells you that it's a toss-up right now is a, at best, a white lie, a convenient fiction that allows everyone to shirk accountability for their forecasts and their decisions. Now, he does say that the Biden team has time to turn it around, but it's interesting to hear him say that it's that big of a landslide at this moment. That Michelle Obama story, we don't have enough time to like get all the way into it, but since Doc mentioned it, I think this is super interesting that he brought that up. There's headlines out today about Michelle Obama being frustrated with the Bidens over their treatment of Hunter's ex-wife. Have you seen this?
I did.
It's a new report from Axios. Michelle Obama has expressed private frustration with the Bidens over the treatment of her friend, Kathleen Buell, after her divorce from Hunter Biden. It has made her reluctant, Michelle Obama, reluctant to openly campaign for the president. Former first lady became friends with Buell while her husband was in office and Joe Biden was the vice president, and they have since remained close. Hunter Biden and Buell separated in 2015, divorced in 2017. Buell wrote in her memoir, If We Break, about his addictions and infidelity during their marriage, and she has been largely exiled from the Biden family after their split. We know how the Bidens treat their Hunter's exes.
Absolutely.
The granddaughter that they don't recognize from a previous relationship. I would totally, it would seem to me to fit perfectly in their character that they would be rude and dismissive and insulting to somebody who used to be in the family and isn't anymore. So all that sounds about right to me. According to the report, the Biden family has been angry ever since that book came out, even though it came out after Hunter Biden's book, where he talked about all the same things. So it's like, he talked about him in his book. Why can't I talk about him in my book? Of course, the White House says that this Axios report is not true.
That is the one person. There are two people you should probably not mess with.
Yeah.
Obama, Barack, and Michelle. You probably shouldn't mess with those two people, especially when you want America's sweethearts to be on your side, help you with your campaign. For her to say through this Axios report, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't really need to be a part of it, which we've seen, by the way.
Yeah, that's not the first time we've heard those reports. The Michelle
hasn't been anywhere.
Doesn't want to have anything to do with the Bidens.
She hasn't been with Barack at the fundraisers. I haven't seen her, at least. She hasn't spoken on stage.
What I said earlier with Justin Sparks, I think that also on top of that, maybe having some personal issues with him, she doesn't want to get the stink on her.
Yeah.
She doesn't want the Biden's loser reputation to get rubbed off on her family.
I mean, she hasn't even been with Jill Biden. I don't even think I've seen her with Dr. Jellybean at all. It makes sense to me.
All right. We are getting closer and closer to that debate watch party tonight. Going to do our final predictions and discussion forecast for tonight's debate. Also, I have a news story about Tim Scott. He revealed in an interview this morning the turning point in his relationship with Donald Trump. It's a really interesting story, and it explains this connection that Tim Scott now has, this friendship that he now has with Donald Trump. And we also have that announcement about the show that we'll be bringing you in just about 12 minutes from now, around 3:35. So we got a lot to talk about before we turn things over to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. You're listening to the Columbo and Katie Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 News Talk STL. Got an announcement concerning the future of the show coming up here in just a few minutes before we get out of here and turn things over to the O'Reilly Report and then the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Tim and Chris are live out at Johnny's Hideout this afternoon. Of course, their show is from 4 to 6, and then at 7 o'clock, the debate watch party gets underway out there at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. The debate starts at 8 o'clock. We've got our debate night bingo cards that we'll be passing out there tonight. That is just so much fun. One more time, big thank you to Freedom Principle Missouri, St. Louis Young Republicans, and Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning for making this really great event happen. I will be on my way to Florida. I will be out for the next couple days. Katie will be taking over and running the show for the next few days. My oldest daughter is turning 21 this weekend, which is wild.
Yay, great.
And of course, she lives down there in Orlando, so we are going down to spend her birthday with her. So I will be watching the debate as we head down to Florida tonight, and it's gonna
that's a great way to preoccupy time.
I'm always looking for like podcasts or whatever to take up big chunks of the drive. The debate is going to serve that purpose for me tonight, which I absolutely can't wait for. But Katie and just about everybody else from here at News Talk STL are going to be out there at Johnny's Hideout tonight, so hope you will be there as well. Tim Scott is somebody that is also in the Atlanta area, as Donald Trump had announced earlier this week that his vice presidential pick will be in Atlanta for the debate. So everybody's watching, like, which one of these people that have been rumored to be on the list are there? They're basically all there. So didn't do much to shorten the list. But he revealed in an interview with Ainsley Earhart on Fox the turning point in him and Trump's relationship and the connection that they now have. And he discussed the discussion that the senator and the former president had over his handling of the 2017 Charlottesville Unite the Right rally. And he said that discussion made their relationship what it is today. He said, quote, "I will say it was the Charlottesville incident that made our relationship what it is today." Tim Scott said, quote, "He, being Donald Trump, he invited me to the Oval Office to talk about race relations in America. He wanted me to share with them my perspective. He listened. And after we finished talking, he said, "Help me help those that I have offended."
Wow.
How about that for Donald Trump?
Huge.
And Tim Scott said that that's how his opportunity zones organization was born. He went on to say, quote, "So I'm very thankful that in one of the hardest moments in recent history, President Trump invited me in so we could find solutions together."
That's amazing.
Earhart noted that if chosen, Scott would be the first black Republican vice president to make it on the ticket. To which Tim Scott responded, quote, "I think it's exciting no matter the outcome. It's the evolution of the Southern heart that we see on display, and we Southerners get so little credit for the progress we've made. The whole notion of judging a person on the content of their character, not the color of their skin, has happened. It's not going to happen. It's not around the corner. It's in the rearview mirror. We are living Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's dream." So that's the story.
I think
about
it's wonderful.
The moment that Tim Scott became the huge supporter of Donald Trump that he is now. There are new rumors and reports out that Trump could announce his vice presidential pick as early as next week, which is a lot earlier than had been previously expected. And those reports also claim that Trump's current shortlist is down to just four names. Tim Scott is on the list, along with Senator J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio from Florida, and of course, North Carolina Governor Doug Burgum.
Dougie! This is a story, though, that has been told about Donald Trump behind the scenes so many times. Even Kim Kardashian. I mean, I know that that's wild to say, but even Kim Kardashian was like, "Trump was the first president to bring me in and take me seriously and talk about the justice system and talk about reforming our prison system." There's so many people that have stories like this about Donald Trump, which is such a sad reality to live in, that the media has warped him into being this monster and this demon of a human. Whenever you speak to people like Tim Scott, who's a trustworthy person, or family members of Donald Trump, they're like, "Dude, he's a great grandpa. He is so much fun. He listens to so many people." And it's just hard, I'm sure, for a lot of people to see that side of him.
Yep, absolutely. But you're right. We do hear, I've heard it personally from people that I know or that I've met that have personally met the president. And we hear it.
Paul Kurtman met him.
That people that say that when you meet him, the connection and the honesty and, you know, just how real of a
real
person he is what draws people to him.
Yeah.
So he's got that. And that is something that Joe Biden definitely struggles with, trying to make a real human connection with anybody. All right. We waited to the very end of the show to talk about this because I know Katie doesn't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. And I know you've been like nervous about about this. So we waited to the end, but we need to, with me leaving tomorrow, I'm going to be out Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. I'll be back in here in studio on Wednesday. But since I am going, we needed to make this announcement and let you guys know some information about the future of this show.
Yes,
take it away.
We did wait till the end for a reason, for a purpose. But a lot of you have been following my journey here in broadcast and radio and have been with me and supporting me for so long. I've been doing this now for about 8 or 9 years. And I've worked with the most incredible people, and I've gotten the pleasure to just grow in this industry. And I've had so many people, be supporters and be the shoulder that I needed to lean on and help me become what I am today in this business. And I'm so forever grateful. One of them being in this room, Tony Colombo, who is one of my very best friends in this industry. And it's sad for me to say, I love my job. I love this station. And I've had I've had the most wild, incredible time helping this station grow and to be in this position because of Joe and Jeff and Jim and Tony. I'm forever grateful, but I am stepping away from this position and I am stepping away from News Talk STL and broadcasting in general to pursue something different. I did have an opportunity come up that I couldn't say no to. And as much as this is a heartbreaking thing to say, and as much as it pains me to walk away from people that I really love and a profession that I get to say for the last 9 years, I really have never worked a day in my life, which is not what a lot of people can say. This was just an opportunity that I couldn't say no to for my family. So I am sad. And I love you all so deeply. And I love this station. And I love these people so, so deeply. And it's really, really hard to do. But sometimes God has a plan. Mm-hmm. Not sometimes. God always has a plan. He always has a plan. And he led me here. And he's going to lead me and to this next career opportunity.
And here's the good news. And there's not a whole lot of good news. Because Katie is such a big part of this show and a big part of this station. But here's the good news. Since you're not going to another broadcast organization, since you're leaving totally, there's no problem with you visiting.
Yes.
And we've already talked about Katie's going to make she's going to be stopping by on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
We're going to be hearing from Katie on a regular basis. So going forward, we have some band events coming up this year. Katie's still in the band. She's still going to be a regular on the show. So she's still going to be around. And, I never thought that I would talk about this on the air. But since this is happening, I think it's important for you and everybody to know that when we were going through the transition and starting this new incredible station, News Talk STL, that wouldn't be where it is today without Katie. In my first conversations with Jeff Allen and Joe Rush, I said that I wouldn't do this without Katie. I wouldn't do this without Katie being with me on my show and being a part of the management team behind the scenes. And so that's how much you've meant to me and this show. And so you will be dearly missed. We are already
it's gonna be tough.
We're already working on and coming up with a plan for the future. I don't know what to call the show. Anybody got any ideas?
Everyone's like, does anyone know a Katie?
Columbo and Question Mark. Yeah, you know a Katie? Because then we don't have to change any of the branding if you can find me another Katie. But Katie will be, she'll still be a good friend. We'll still be checking in with her as often as possible on a regular basis.
We are truly a family here. This is a true statement that we all care for each other and love each other very deeply. So I'm not really going anywhere. I'm going to be back around.
And this is an awesome opportunity for you and your family that is just so well deserved.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Yeah, definitely the right thing to do. And but not goodbye. Just unfortunately, Katie will not be here every day as part of the show after another week or so. And it's all happening right as I'm
leaving
going
for
out
vacation.
Of town.
And I would like to say one thing before we do go. Yeah. I just want to say thank you so much to you and thank you so much to the leadership here, Joe, Jeff, and Jim, who have always been such an incredible. You guys are men that I can lean on and that you guys listen to me and you guys have always had my back and believed in me. There's nothing more important than that in this world. And you guys have just really been anchors in my life. So thank you guys for everything.
Thank you. And I very much mean it when I say that the radio station and this show would not be where it is without all of the work that you have done with us over the last 3 years and getting this incredible new radio station launched. And it's not goodbye. And fortunately, Katie will still be around on a fairly regular basis checking in. So we will talk to her as often as possible. And you'll get a chance to see her tonight.
I'll see you at the debate, guys.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, now you I wonder what everybody wants to talk to Katie about tonight. Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, that's the place to be tonight. Keep it here for the O'Reilly Report next. Then Tim Jones and Chris Arps live from Johnny's Hideout on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Everybody.